What is up, you guys? It's Dakota T. Jones. We are coming back live for the premiere of season 3 of Millennial Hollywood. We are so excited. We have two very special guests, so make sure you don't go too far.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back. We are so excited to be back for the season premiere of season 3. We are so excited to have two wonderful guests with me. We have Leo Camacho and Sarah Sterling. Thank you
Hello.
So much for joining me.
Thanks for having us,
man.
You guys are like power duo. And so I thought I was only going to get one of you on the show, but now I get both of you. So we get the duo.
It's just a surprise bonus, Leo.
Right? It's like this bonus.
I just pop out of her bag sometimes.
It's like Mary Poppins.
He just like popped out of her little purse today. Well, where can everyone find you guys on social media?
I'm Sarah Sterling _ on Twitter. I'm Sarah G. Sterling on Instagram.
And I'm at Mr. Leo Zombie on Instagram and at Leo Zombie on Twitter without the Mr.
You can find both of us on Thingamavlogs on YouTube.
Yes, which I'm excited to ask you guys
about.
That's cool. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. So you guys are like the Disney fanatics that we all are at heart. Some people like hide it for some reason. I don't understand why. It's like
people are trying to push through that. I feel like it's a remnant of that nerd barrier where it was like not cool to be a nerd, but like it's more mainstream than anything else now.
Yeah.
And there's still that reservation for no reason. But sometimes we talk about this and we forget that the majority of the population isn't as in-depthly, you know, into fandom as we are. It's just like, you know, we're in our own little bubble of
The thing about Disney is that like everybody has a connection to Disney.
Right.
Like there's no one who hasn't like grown up watching at least a Disney movie. But like, I think it's a type of thing in nerd culture that people might not know there is like a fan community to be a part of. And so they just like go on living their lives, just like enjoying Disney animation, but like not kind of like expressing it maybe as much as they would if they knew where there are all these people out there.
Yeah. And I feel like it still has a little bit of a stigma. Like, I mean, in my case, it's sort of unnecessary, but like that it's for kids. But you know it's funny that it's perceived that way. Obviously it's cartoons and it's about like morals and stories and things like that, you know, like put this on so that I don't have to worry about you for the next hour, you know. But you know, it's created by extremely arguably the most talented people in their respective fields to put together these productions that are just, you know, the talent that goes into these things, the level of work. I'm overwhelmed because it blows my mind. Like the amount of work and the amount of detail and the amount of, like, even if you look at it from a business standpoint, marketing and secondary branding that goes into each film is just phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
And that to me is a very adult concept.
See, exactly. And I know that, like, even if it does come back, like, I love, like, pure fun. And, like, Disney is pure fun. Like, you don't have to worry about, I don't know, sometimes I get caught up like, oh, okay, like, what are they trying to promote here? It's just so fun and, like, comes from a good place.
Yeah.
And everyone loves each other, and it's just, I don't know, it's so exciting.
The core of it, right?
Right, the core of it. But on the outside of it, you're so right. It's so overwhelming how amazing that these people are who create these films. And I think they are, like, the best of the best.
Yeah.
And so I have always been, like, a Disney kid growing up, like, hardcore fan. And then as I, like, got older, I, like, moved out to California by myself, and I had other things to worry about. And I didn't, like, connect to it as much. And then recently I just got back from Disney World and I'm like 110% into it again.
Yeah,
I'm like freaking
that's
out.
All it takes.
Right? I just like started doing like the pin trading and stuff and I'm like all into it. But okay, so let's start at the very beginning. Like, what was your like first experience? What was your first Disney memory, I guess?
Okay.
I know there's probably memories before that, but
yeah, no.
There's a lot of things that I experienced that I can't remember.
Right.
I always talk about how my mom bought herself an annual pass to Disneyland before I was like 2, because I could get in for free under 2, and she would just take me while my sisters were in elementary school. So like, I don't remember that, but it happened. And other than that, like, I watched Lion King and Pinocchio every single day after preschool.
It was Robin Hood and Jungle Book for me.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, that's like what I remember. But, I mean, there's a lot.
I feel like I just imagine like your memory like starting to like hazily fade in from like your 2-year-old self and you're just at Disneyland all of a sudden. Like your first coherent memories are
at
Disney.
Crazy.
So that's where that's the park you went to, like Disneyland.
Yeah. Because I've always lived here in LA.
Okay. And you too?
Yeah. Same.
Okay. Yeah. So my first experience was Walt Disney World, because I live in Missouri, or I did live in Missouri, and
not
so
too far. Yeah.
We, you know, like would take like a day trip, not a day, take like 24 hours.
Sure, sure.
But like we would go down there and we would do all the parks, and just from revisiting them now, it's so insane how much it's changed and how much it's evolved, and like the more cool things that have gone in there now, and like they're coming out with like obviously the Star Wars Land, which they are two here in California.
Yeah, both
right?
of them are getting it.
And then they have like this Toy Story Land that's apparently coming out,
yeah,
which is going to be awesome. But they just are
they constantly are re-evolving themselves. Yeah.
What as a like Disney World kid, what was it like? Like how do you feel about Disneyland?
You know, that's a good question, because a lot of people ask me that, and it's weird because I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, well, Disney World's way better. You know, I love both of them. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Disney World is, I guess, more grand. Like, they've got four different lands, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems bigger and stuff, but, like, they really went all out on both. And, like, isn't Disneyland the original?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know why, but when I go to Disneyland, it obviously reminds me of Magic Kingdom, but, like, it's different. And then not only that, but then, like, Disney's California Adventure is kind of almost like Hollywood Studios a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love how everything's different. So it's almost like whenever I go to Disneyland, it's like, oh, these are just different lands. Like, it's
Disneyland is sort of like the best hits, right? Like, you get a little bit of everything at Disney World. Of course, you get far less, but there's a different sense.
Well, it depends what you consider as less. Disney California Adventure have more attractions combined than the four parks.
Sure, sure. But it's like less to experience. Like, you don't get fewer shows,
fewer restaurants, less immersive.
Resorts. You don't get any of that.
Yeah, I noticed like whenever I like obviously have the app, and when you scroll in on a park in Florida, there might be like at Hollywood Studios, I think there's like 11 or 9 things to do or something. And then whenever I scroll in on like California Adventure, it's like
there's a billion.
They just pop up.
They like cram everything into like these two parks that they spread across the four parks.
So I think they really have done a great job. I don't think that I'm like, oh, I love one over the other.
Right.
I think it's because I live in California now, it's more fun to go far away to like obviously like Orlando.
It's a vacation, right? And that's how we view it. Like, we think Disney World is a much more it's a destination spot for like tourism, and therefore has a little bit more of a transient population, right? Like, they're in, they're out, they stay, they leave, and then, you know, they don't come back for 3 years. Disneyland is the same people there every weekend.
Yeah,
so there's a much, much more of a community-focused feeling there.
Yeah, like you might run into the same people more often. Yeah,
definitely.
You do? That's so cool. I know that the only thing that I was a little bit disappointed when I went to Disneyland was the castle was small.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And then it started making me think, wow, I was like, it's been a long time since I've been to Disney World. Is that how little the Disney World one is? Was I just small and just thought it was big? But no, like, there is a noticeable size difference, but it's still awesome. And like,
yeah, it's definitely the smallest one.
It's like, I didn't know you were about giant castles. I didn't know that summed you up, you know? Whatever.
That's what I need. let's talk about, like, what was the experience like when you first, like, remembered the park? Maybe for you, since she went when she was two.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I have, it's like a series of memories. My family would go all the time, but I can't like distinguish one trip from another, but there are distinct moments. Sarah knows that my favorite thing at Disneyland is in Tomorrowland, what's it called, Star Trader?
Yeah, Star Trader, the store.
There's a store outside of Star Tours.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the exit, the gift shop as you exit. And outside of it, there's a neon Mickey Mouse that like he flashes across like he's floating
like
in space.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's pink and blue. And I remember being a kid walking by that as the sun was setting, and like that moment was really impactful. So that spot at Disneyland, while the sun is setting, looking at that neon Mickey on top of that store in that sort of, the ambient Tomorrowland vibes, it really resonates with me. But the one distinct memory I have is the Sheriff of Nottingham trying to fake steal my grandma's purse.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and there's actually a photo of this, which is so crazy because I didn't know this till years later. He was like pretending to steal it, you know, because he's taking her money.
Right.
But as a kid, I didn't know that that wasn't real. I was like, Dad, he's stealing grandma's purse. We got to stop him. And my dad's like, yeah, we should stop him, right? And I'm like, yeah, like, don't egg me on. This is real for me. And I remember like getting like visibly upset, and my dad, you know, yanks it back from him. I'm like, Thank God we got that back, because he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy, and grandma can't afford to lose her purse right now.
That is hilarious.
But that was like the level of immersion that I experienced Disneyland at, and that's what sort of set the tone for me.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. What do you think happens to those characters that they kind of retire as far as like There's not Sheriff Nottingham like walking around anymore.
What happened, Sarah? Tell him.
Well, why are you like?
Because you're like an expert on this sort of
thing. Sure. Well, I mean, there's nothing really like to it other than like if stuff isn't popular. Yeah,
Robin Hood is not exactly.
I think if something like that would come out now, like people would be like freaking out.
But well, it would be popular now because it's like a special nostalgic event.
Right.
Like the Disney Afternoon stuff that they're doing right now.
They used to do for like limited weeks at a time something. It was called Limited Time Magic. Long Lost Friends Week was like a thing that they would do. Like, it was not that long ago, like 2013, 2012, where like they used to just have like this area where they would set up different random old characters, and they did have like all the Robin Hood ones come out and like the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty.
It's like the randos
and like
seen.
Esmeralda and like Frollo and just like all these weird ones that you don't usually see, and it was like a huge deal at Disneyland.
They need to do that again.
What's crazy is Disney World has a lot of characters that come out that Disneyland doesn't.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the international parks also have like really weird characters that we don't get.
Yeah, we saw some weird ones in Shanghai.
Yeah. Who do we see in Shanghai?
Well, first of all, the Aristocats. Everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't see
them. Yes, we did. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
we did.
That's crazy.
But like in Tokyo, they have Prince Eric and his dog Max.
Max, yeah.
Which is like
what? That's weird.
Super weird.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think Max, like
the dog,
okay.
The big shaggy dog. Yeah, it's like a weird character to me. So yeah, I've heard, I don't know for sure like how this has worked out, but I know I think each park gets to kind of decide. And pay for certain characters that they like want, which is why like for example Disneyland has Moana and Disney World doesn't now. So it's just like the parks individually choose.
But I mean, to be fair, like let's say they kept a character like Don Carnage out at the parks. Who the heck knows who Don Carnage is, right?
You can't have him without like having
And then you need so you need to have Baloo and you need to have Kit and you have to have like the whole Tailspin crew.
Right.
And Tailspin hasn't been on the air for like 20 years or whatever it is. More than that. And so it would just not make sense to have them out there. And like Robin Hood, for example, he's not exactly, you know, prancing around because Robin Hood hasn't had anything relevant happen for it in a long time. Right. Even Mickey Mouse, if you think about it, like he only recently got a new set of cartoons. Yes, he's present in like the, you know, Disney Junior and stuff like that. But like only certain audiences will like consider them a relevant character. And so they have to kind of keep all of that in mind.
Yeah, I will say that Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World has a ton of characters that maybe I didn't expect. Like, I was so excited, like, Tarzan was there.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Pocahontas and Baloo.
Sometimes Baloo, it's thematically appropriate.
King Louie and stuff.
Yeah, they have a lot of
And, of course, it was, like, appropriate for there because it's all, like, jungle and stuff, which was really cool.
But think about, like, Baloo. He's such an interesting character to think about because, like, up until this recent Jungle Book movie, which now it doesn't even look like that, like, what was Baloo in? And it was like, oh, Bare Necessities. They use that in, like, all their marketing. So you know who Baloo is.
Right.
Right? But you may not know who Ka is. Like, kids might not know who Ka is.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of because Jungle Book is a dated movie, and I don't feel like a lot of kids watch that one.
Those are all the classics that I watched.
Yeah,
that
I'm
all excited about. So let's talk about which park out of all of them is your favorite.
I don't think anything could replace Disneyland for me. Okay. But, I mean, these days I do probably enjoy California Adventure more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so chill.
It's really neat.
That's where we go when Disneyland is too crowded.
Which is, like, often. That's why I say, like, well, these days.
Yeah.
But Disneyland is the original. There's so much incredible history to it. It's the only park that Walt Disney saw with his own eyes and, like, touched with his own hands.
Wait,
and,
is like, that seriously? Like, that's the only
one? Yeah, like, he was planning Disney World and Epcot specifically before he died, but like he has not set foot in any other park except for Disneyland.
Some
so like
say he's still walking the parks today.
So for me, it's just like that is why like Disneyland is the ultimate. So even if like there are parks that are like more exciting to me in the moment, like Disneyland is like
it's rooted the deepest in Disney. Yeah. You know,
that's really cool. I didn't know that. That's the only park you'd been to. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's insane. So I do want to ask, we have a photo of one of your favorite eateries that I'd love to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us what that is.
Leo doesn't know what I sent
you. Yeah,
it's the Cozy Cones. The Cozy Cone. These are in DCA, Disney California Adventure. Sorry, I shouldn't use
Disney jargon.
These were added with the addition of Cars Land, which opened in 2012. It is the quick service location for Cars Land. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, Flo's V8 Cafe is also quick service dining, but it's more sit down. This is more grab and go. Mm-hmm. Each cone has a different offering.
Really?
Yeah. So one cone, and they're all like cone puns. So there's ice cream cones, pop cone, popcorn.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Chili cone queso.
Or queso.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like chili and bread cones, which is our favorite, I think.
Yeah.
And then they also have, like, one has just drinks and one has, like, churro bites.
Yeah, yeah.
So they wait in separate lines.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But that's, like, the whole thing is, like, fill her up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, usually, like, if it's a hot day, like, the ice cream cone line is super long, but then we're like, we want chili. It's great. And, like, no one's getting chili on a hot day.
And you're like, there we go.
Yeah, the chili cones are my absolute favorite thing. Because it's, like, it's literally a bread cone, and then they put chili and cheese and Fritos in it. And they also do, like, a mac and cheese one.
Oh,
and then they also do a chicken verde one.
Wow. Yeah.
So they, like, vary it up, but I just love that you, like, eat it, and then you can eat the bread cone.
Yeah, yeah, which is my least favorite part, by the way.
I love eating the bread cone.
Yeah, I like giving it to you.
That's crazy, because I pass this all the time, but I always thought it was just popcorn in each one.
No.
Or I thought maybe popcorn was in one, and then the other ones were just nothing.
See, that's the cool thing about Disneyland, and Disney in general, obviously, it's just that in every nook and cranny, there is a detail that you didn't know, mm-hmm. right? And you know, that's why we make videos about it, because it's, mm-hmm. there's so much to explore. And when people are traveling to these destinations, they want to try not to miss, you know, as many details mm-hmm. as possible. So things like that, like, oh, where could I eat? Or what are these things? What do they have to offer? Instead of, you know, waiting on each line and seeing, you know,
right.
you could just kind of like look it up and have a preconceived concept.
Yeah. And I love that you guys have a large following, and I love how you're able to kind of give the information, because a lot of people don't have the resources, or they don't live close by the parks to go all the time.
Right.
So mm-hmm. they have like maybe one day to experience each
exactly.
part, and so they want to get the most out of it. So I think it's really cool that you guys do that.
Thanks.
Yeah. so let's talk about pin trading, because this is something I just recently started. Like,
you're talking to the queen right here.
Okay. Well, first of all, what, like, you were in Disney World and you decided when you were there to start pin trading, or like before you went, you were like, I'm going to pin trade on this.
Well,
trip.
So I did randomly just like came across some pins, and like it's funny because they have a bunch of stuff outside of Disney that's like those weird stores that are all the same.
Right.
The ones like on the street.
Like Downtown Disney.
No, not even that. Like the ones in Orlando, they just
in
have
Orlando,
like a bunch
they have
of
like weird just like outlet like pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
saw some there that were like, you know, a couple dollars, and I was like, oh, cool. And then after that, like, it started to spread, and then now, like, at Disneyland, I'm, like, getting them and everything. So it started from, like, some of the discount stores, and then I started going for the mm-hmm. full price.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It's like a really... It's like a lot to explain, so I'm kind of like, what do you want to know?
Yeah, well,
it's like a lot to
like
it.
Which ones do you mostly collect?
Okay, you're right. So I am a pin trader. I've been pin trading
there are levels to this.
Since 2011. Yeah. When I was a cast member, I started pin trading.
That's
so I was
cool.
like, I get a discount, I should start doing it now. I collect Dumbo and Peter Pan and Pixar, but specifically like Wall-E, Toy Story, and Up, and Elliot the Dragon from Pete's Dragon and Bongo the Bear from Fun and Fancy Free.
Those are like very specific.
I know.
Yeah.
So how many months go by before you see like Bongo?
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Well, I don't pin trade like a lot anymore. I used to be like one of those people that you might see at Disneyland where like they like set up camp at like tables in Frontierland and like have all their books out and like everyone's like looking at each other's books and trading. Like I used to be that.
That's so fun.
It's just like hard to bring all my pins all the time. I would like to keep doing it. It's just like, so I don't really trade that often anymore. And I'm not one to really buy. I like enjoy trading up and like trading to find things. So like I'll buy stuff sometimes, but anyway.
What
about, do you guys like ever wait in those lines to get like those exclusive pins?
We have a friend who in the 60th at Disneyland anniversary they were releasing like one a month, and he like waited overnight for every single one. I'm not really about that. I've never waited overnight for a pin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just because I'm like,
neither have I.
I'll trade for
but
it.
I don't collect pins.
Oh,
but people buy pins for me.
Well,
and
cool.
it's always Darkwing Duck is one of my favorite characters. Dodger Dog is one of my favorite characters. Prince Eric.
Oh, that's
for
cool,
obvious
yeah.
reasons. And then Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, Leo's whole collection is just like these are pins that people have given,
people give me pins.
Cool in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I like it because they're more meaningful that way.
Because
to me, the concept is just there's so many pins.
It's overwhelming.
Where do I start now? So each pin that I have comes from like an individual mm-hmm. who picked it out because they knew that, oh, you know, like I love Dodger Dog.
Mm-hmm.
So they you know, they find that one, like, oh, I found this pin at this little outlet, and I thought, yeah, cool, awesome, you know, now it's meaningful.
Right.
Instead of me going out and going, all right, let me buy the three Dodger pins that exist, you know?
Yeah, right. That's what I mean, where, like, trading up is, like, part of the fun. And you're like, I remember how I got every pin, you know, like, I remember kind of, like, what I traded for that pin, you know, that's like, cool. It's really fun. The journey is fun.
That's really cool. Yeah, it is fun. That's why I've, like, I've always been like, oh, that seems expensive. I'm just going to, like,
it is.
Not. And then I started doing it, and I was like, this is so much fun. But right now, I am, like, very simple. I only collect, like, the goofy pins, because he's my favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
What is your favorite character from the Fantastic Five?
Goofy. Yeah, we actually had a week about this, remember?
Yeah, we didn't pick our favorites,
no,
though.
But I got my favorite. I got Goofy.
It's probably just Mickey.
Mickey.
Yeah.
He's iconic.
Yeah.
What can you do? He's the main guy.
He's the guy.
Goofy is definitely in, like, my top five characters, though.
What's funny, and it might be a good segue for you, is I actually, like, kind of don't like Goofy.
What?
Which is funny because I love a Goofy movie.
Right.
It's my favorite Disney movie.
That's my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, my God.
I love it so much.
See, remember I was talking about this? When two people have a Disney, like, favorite Disney movie is Goofy movie, you have, like, this weird, like, oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I love a Goofy movie, but, like, otherwise don't generally really enjoy Goofy.
I love
really.
Him. I love him.
Super weird.
He's my favorite. Him. Like, all-time favorite character of all time.
I mean, but Roger Rabbit seems to think so, too. So.
Right, yeah. Let's actually show that photo. We have a photo of, like, a Goofy movie. And then we also have, let's see. Oh, there we go. So this is, like, my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
And then the next photo we have of you guys, it was at D23, right?
Yeah.
You guys were dressed up in the costume. How did you make this costume of Lester?
I mean, I didn't make him.
Okay.
I can't take credit. I had him made for D23. I had this idea. I think it just popped up in my time hop. Like, August of 2016, like, I posted on Facebook, like, anyone know a mascot costume, like, maker? So it was, like, a year in the making, and I was like, I want to do Lester, just because, like, who's done that? And then Leo was like, oh, if you're really gonna do it, I'll do Max with you.
Yeah, and so I made the Lester's hat. Possum park
yeah,
hat.
Lester.
That's so
Lester's
cool.
Possum.
It was
park
a big
Max.
Hit. At D23.
It was really hard to wear.
I bet.
It's a good, like, kudos to people who do this for a living, because I only lasted, like, 2.5 hours in it.
And then you had to
which, by the way, is substantial,
that
considering
is
that, like, you know, people that do characters, the cast members that are working that, it's, like, the sets are 30 on, 30 off, and she went, like, 2 hours straight in it.
So, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've noticed that they do, like, 30 minutes, and they're like, oh, Goofy's got to go call Max.
Yeah.
I'm like, how many times does he need to call Max? Like,
Max,
come on.
Listen, he's
Max
a very overprotective parent.
Right. So, like, whenever they do that, I'm wondering, like, do they just kind of, like, as they go off, they just kind of high-five the next guy as he goes out?
I mean.
Pretty much.
What do you mean? There's only one Goofy.
That's true.
Well, they high-five the next guy who's going to watch the door so that in 30 minutes they can be rested.
Right. That's right. Because I'm like, 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off. Right when they go, someone else is coming back.
It's a very difficult thing to discuss when you're trying to uphold
the magic of it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Because I try not to think about it, but sometimes I'm like,
character integrity, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, okay, you guys have been to the Shanghai Park, which is so cool. That opened somewhat recently, right?
June of last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever you decided to go, were you just like, let's just go to Shanghai? Like, did you just go specifically for that or what?
Well, no.
It was a very, like, I never would have chosen Shanghai to be my first international park. It actually wasn't Leo's first time. And he had been to Paris.
I've been to Paris before.
Oh, cool.
But I'll let Leo explain why we went.
Yeah.
Because
so,
it's all about him.
Yeah. So Disney had contacted me two years ago, to be in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
No way.
Yeah. So I went to Australia. I filmed the movie.
An extra.
I was like a featured extra. The DVD crew followed me around. We got this whole crazy experience with, like, Bruckheimer, all this stuff. I met Johnny Depp and hung out with him.
Oh my gosh.
It was really cool. It was a really magical experience for us, especially because we got treated like, you know, the cast.
He says us. He's not referring to me. Not
us. It was me.
The other influencers that got chosen.
It was
not me
and four other digital influencers.
I'm like, I was not
that. I hate that word, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
It was the first time I heard it, actually. So it was me. It was like two beauty gurus. I was like, and two comedians. Mm-hmm. And but I was like the Disney guy. So I got like this whole thing. We met, custom fitted by the designer of Jack Sparrow, like Penny Rose, Academy Award winning, blah blah blah. So it was amazing. 2 years go by, nothing, and then the movie's about to release, and then now it's all this content that we had sort of curated over that time, mm-hmm. We were finally going to be allowed to start releasing and talk about the fact that we were in the movie. I mean, I had to keep this a secret for 2 years.
Oh, I couldn't even.
Yeah. And so part of the promotion, they decided, we had no idea that this was going to happen, was they sent us to the world premiere in Shanghai.
Oh my gosh.
To walk the red carpet of the first screening of the movie. And in the fan, so out there, Pirates of the Caribbean is a really big deal. I mean, it's bigger than Star Wars out in China.
They don't even know what Star
Wars is. It's like not important to them. But Pirates of the Caribbean, half of Shanghai Disney is Pirates Land.
They have a Pirates Land. Yeah. They don't have Adventureland.
Everything is pirates. As a matter of fact, they replaced Clayton and Tarzan with pirates. Like, it's such a big deal. Treasure, pirates, like cursed gold, that's their jam.
Our friend was like, pirates to them is like cowboys to like the U.S.
Wow. Yeah, but like, the U.S. in like the 50s. Right. You know, when cowboys were everything.
Right.
So anyway, so we went out there and then, you know, it was a multi-day experience. We went out there and we took an extra 2 days on
I was like, as soon as they were like, we want to take you to Shanghai, I was like, okay, we need to like extend our trip because like I'm not going to go and like get only one day in the park and then like do the premiere and go home. Like I need to
So we had like a day as tourists where we just went before Disney got there.
Yeah.
And then Disney got there and then we got like that experience, which was crazy, you know. So we spent quite a bit of time there and it was I mean awesome, amazing, one of a kind, once a lifetime experience. Yeah, you know,
that's amazing. Actually, Pirates of the Caribbean is like my favorite series.
Oh really?
It's like honestly, I live for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I'm a really really big fan.
Yeah, and like whenever I went to the ride in Florida, like it was more involved, and then like the one at Disneyland the one at Disneyland is more
involved.
It's longer. And then the other one is like short, and I was short. What is going on? But I'm guessing what, like you said, the other one in Shanghai.
It's not the same game. It's not even the same sport.
Insane.
Yeah.
Is there multiple rides?
No.
They have a pirate show. Okay. That's really funny, but it's in Mandarin.
Which doesn't matter, by the way. It makes it better, in my opinion.
And then like their whole like shops and eatery section for pirates is like insane. Mm-hmm.
Like but Barbossa has his own restaurant.
Pirates of the Caribbean ride there is the craziest attraction I've ever been on in my life.
Listen, dude. Like you think you've been on good rides until you've been on pirates, and you're
it's nothing like the ones.
It's nothing like anything.
Crazy.
That's the point. It's like we're talking like 200 foot LED screens that fully immerse you underwater and give you the sensation of motion.
Wow.
Even though it's not moving.
It's also like 100% based on the movies.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's between 2 and 3. Pirates 2 and 3.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Davy Jones is like my all time favorite villain.
Yeah, I love Davy Jones.
I don't want to spoil it if you guys haven't seen the last movie, but like...
Where have you been if you haven't seen
it? Right, exactly. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like that ending thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, please be another one. You know, please have another movie so we can like relive all of that, which was awesome.
Yeah, and they have like a 8-foot Davy Jones animatronic on the ride.
No way.
With like full tentacles articulated. That's too cool.
That's crazy. Amazing. Okay, well, I got to go there. definitely. So does anyone speak English or is it... Like, are there cast members who do speak English or...?
Yeah, it was, like, hit or miss. Like, most of them could communicate, but there were a few times where I had to find, like, a guest relations cast member specifically. Like, I remember there was a day that I went alone. Mm-hmm. Leo wanted to see actual Shanghai, and I just wanted to stay in the parks. And I was, like, trying to figure out... it was raining, and I was like... Will the parade still run if it's raining? Was my question. I asked like cast members, and they were like,
simple as where's the bathroom.
Right. Right. Yeah. And they were like, ask this person. So I had to like find like a kind of like a manager.
Yeah.
I think someone told us all the managers speak English, maybe. Kylo Ren and Spider-Man don't speak English.
They do not speak English.
But all the other characters who talk
all the princesses
English.
Do and
they speak English
yeah
wow so whenever they go they're casting, American they must be like
I think they just come from here.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Kylo Ren and Spider-Man.
That's hilarious.
Which is crazy. Like, Kylo Ren like, castigating you in Mandarin is intimidating as heck.
Like, okay, that's hilarious.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems like, since it's like the newer park, I'm sure that they have more technology. So whenever they were building it, they obviously had...
It's implemented, yeah.
Right. So, but I love how they seem like they're doing that slowly through each park. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like adding things, which is really cool. But that seems like that park is out of this world.
It's a future park, yeah. It's weird because like when you watch Disney trying to retrofit this kind of technology, you get a lot of sort of backlash from the community, like the Max Pass, stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you said a second ago.
It's fine. You just weren't paying attention.
No, it's just like...
No, I'm saying like how Shanghai is built with that technology sort of innately as part of its foundation, where Disneyland is trying to retrofit new technology to fit like 1950s technology, essentially.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. I do want to show the photo of the parade, though, because
oh,
this is your favorite parade, and this is the one that's coming back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, back in
cool.
2018.
That is exciting. So
it'll be a while.
I just went to the one where they had, like, the electrical parade.
The old one.
The old one.
Sorry,
so that's
man.
Done.
It's done.
So I saw that, like, a few days ago, and now it's done.
It's done, and I don't even know if it's, like, because they want to end it or because it's just on its last
legs.
Well,
I mean, it's unannounced if it's going anywhere. Like, it's done at Disneyland, and, like, it remains to be seen if it's going to be used anywhere ever again.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great, but I like this kind of stuff more.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's relevant now, right? Like,
right.
It's more impressive, like... A turtle with a couple of light bulbs on it. It doesn't exactly scream 2017,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's cool, but like, yeah, this is going to be, I think it's going to be
was
really
it your
cool.
first time seeing Main Street Electrical Parade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting then.
Yeah, that's my first time
How
seeing
did it strike you? Were you just like, oh, this
You're
is
like,
history?
Okay.
Or were you like, oh, this is beautiful? Like, what?
I mean, I thought it was history. Like, you could tell it was older, you know? And like, mm-hmm. with the turtles and like the constant bumblebees going by,
yeah.
I was like, okay. Cool. They were like spinning around,
yeah,
like doing the most. I was like, that's cool.
Doing
but
the most.
It's like going to downtown Las Vegas. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Like those people who make their costumes and stuff. Like, I kind of thought that, but like, whenever the characters were going by, or like the train, or like the pirate ship with like Peter mm-hmm. Pan and Hook, I thought it was all cool. But I think with this, mm-hmm. it's going to be more. Yeah. So it's like not little lights making a big picture. It's like. That is the big picture.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's going to be cool. But you said this is 2018 that it's going to come back out. So what's going to happen in the meantime?
So, so Paint the Night premiered in 2015 and it lasted for like 18 months. And then it left and Main Street Electrical Parade started up. And then what's going to happen is there's a day parade in California Adventure right now called Pixar Play.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
It's coming to Disneyland.
Really?
Because they're doing like a limited time Pixar Fest event. Where like there's gonna be Pixar fireworks and like so they're bringing Pixar Play to Disneyland and putting Paint the Night in Disney California Adventure.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just to have like Pixar everywhere. It doesn't
to
mean, kind of maybe
spread
it's,
it
like,
evenly.
Why,
like we're
why
the same.
Not
yeah.
just Paint the Night back at Disneyland, but anyway. So yeah, that's.
Well, I feel like DCA needs like another one of those premier.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to pull because Star Wars Land is going to be coming, and they're
right.
trying to like pull crowds like over to DCA. Also, this is probably not the whole reason, but Paint the Night is such a tall parade that they weren't able to have holiday garlands across Main Street for the holiday season, which a lot of people were upset about.
So
now, hopefully, garlands will be back.
Right there, you go. And all I got to do is just switcheroo there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kendra says, didn't they just announce that PTN
Paint the Night.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Adventures of Mooch says Shanghai Pirates looks beautiful. Yes.
That's our friend Noah.
Noah.
Adventures of Mooch is Noah. I didn't see anything about Paint the Night coming back in November. They announced at D23 that it's coming to California Adventure in like a year.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless it's like a limited time thing coming back to Disneyland for the holidays.
Yeah, that is the only parade that I waited for.
Really? I doubt it's coming back in November because they will have the Halloween parade from like end of August through October for Halloween parties only.
Oh.
I know. Sorry.
No, I'll have to go.
But then they're going to be doing Christmas Fantasy, and they can run Christmas Fantasy and Paint the Night consecutively, but Christmas Fantasy can be a nighttime parade, so they don't need it.
Interestingly enough, Sarah has that exact same dialogue with herself at home when no one's around.
Like
that's
wow.
She just like mumbles like, wait, that's not possible because of Disneyland Christmas parade. Paint the Night's not even the garland.
It's like, you know that meme.
She's
of
like
that
rocking one. In a corner.
Yeah, yeah. With all the math.
Oh yeah, I was like, yeah, that's you.
It is me.
Somebody photoshopped that immediately.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about which was honestly, well, I'll tell you what I think after you guys answer. But
okay.
What did you guys think of this whole Mission Breakout? Instead of like
man,
I know it's a tough subject.
You want to go there now?
Yeah,
it's okay. We'll go there. We'll break out. I loved it. So good. And I was one of those people that when they, you know, because there was a lot of hoopla around them removing Tower of Terror, and people were like, no, this was history. I'm like, no, it's not. Literally. and I was all about it. I'm like, yeah, get rid of it. It's
really?
Not even Disney's property. Yeah, because. Like, it's cool, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't, like, substantially hold up. I think it's an amazing attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, first of all, Disney's paying a licensing fee for Twilight Zone. They don't even own Twilight Zone. So I get it from, like, a brand point of view. And also, Guardians is far bigger than Twilight. Twilight Zone's not even on the air. It hasn't been on the air since the 90s. Well, on the third reboot.
It is.
What? Well, yeah, in syndication.
Right.
But there's no, like, new... And also, it's on, like, old channels, right? Yeah. And Guardians is now one of the biggest Disney properties out there, simply because Marvel is one of the biggest Disney things out there. Well, yes, I guess that's an accurate statement. It is one of the biggest Disney things. And it made a lot of sense to me. And I was like, oh, this is a cool facelift. And ultimately, will lead into, hopefully, Marvel Land. And this makes perfect sense to me. And then we go on the ride, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Tower Who? Like, what happened? What happened? Where did it go? Because it is amazing, in my opinion. But that's my thoughts, Sarah.
What do you think?
I cared very little personally because I don't. I never went on. I went on Tower, but I didn't. I hate it because I don't like dropping sensations.
Really? Oh my gosh.
So like, I don't enjoy the ride. So like, I'm like, this isn't a ride I go on. So I don't really care. I understand why people were upset because Tower of Terror is a great attraction.
It is. I'm not taking that away from
it. Right. Yeah. Like I think. I saw both sides. You know, people are like, it's better in Florida anyway. Like, the one at DCA had only been around for, like, 12 years. Like, you can't really call that a classic. I get it. Like, I understand why people were upset because, like, the Hollywoodland theme, Guardians doesn't currently fit with that. Yeah. So right now it's, like, in a weird transition period where it's, like,
but Hollywoodland DCA with, like, general, Tivon's
collection. Yeah. Right. But I looked at it as, like, hopefully there is a Marvel Land in the future and this That'd is building cool. towards it. Like, you know, would we rather them shut down, like, a whole area of the park, like, for a long time and have it all happen at once? Or would we have it, like, rather slowly. Keep things open and, like, have things slowly added? I'm not sure. That's, like, up for debate. But I just cared very little, personally. Okay. Saw both sides. And then I was, like, pissed that I had to go on Guardians. Because, like, I have to try everything right. once. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I already... went through this for Tower. I went on it. It was super fun.
Yes.
Would you do it again?
No, probably not.
She just doesn't like thrills.
I get it.
I could have gone on it again immediately after, but like any like significant amount of time.
We went on four times in a row.
My anxiety gets like out of control.
And we had a private car and she didn't take advantage. Like the most sought after ride right now.
I did it with the private car.
Yeah, but we did it.
I know you did it again.
So you got like a we were doing like a
tour during VidCon where we had like a tour guide.
We work with Disney Digital Network, which is their YouTube network. Yeah.
So that's awesome. I was like, okay, because I don't have to like have the anticipation of waiting in line, like I can just do it just and like get it over.
Take
with.
It. Yeah.
That's so funny. I honestly was so upset when I found out.
I gathered you were.
I was like distraught. Like I went back with my friends and like everyone was like, we don't like drops. We're not going to do it. I'm like, I'll wait by myself if I have to because this is my last chance to ride it here. And so the one in Florida is bigger. It feels like more drops.
It's better and it's more impressive because you go into the ride.
Yeah, you move around.
You move into the ride and then you go. Yeah. So I was like upset and everything. But then I just went for the first time like last week to do it. And so I was so excited. Like because there's so many more drops. And like
Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like they just like shoot you up.
Yeah. It's much more about the up. Yeah. Than it is about the down.
And so I thought that the way that they immersed you in there, and then when they would open the doors and there would be those big screens, it was crazy.
It was crazy.
So
it was and like, the raccoon part, the rocket raccoon, when he's like talking to you.
The whole thing was incredible. And I was so much more impressed with it. So I'm like, okay, change is not always bad.
Yeah. Right.
And I was excited about it. And I thought that that's my new favorite ride. So
that's a big statement.
No,
I was just going to say it's just one of those things Disney fans love to resist change.
Yeah, I generally think that I'd rather the parks have very different attractions from each other because, like, when I go to a different Disney park, like, I want to try the things that they have that we don't have.
Right.
So it's cool to have, like, Tower in Florida, Guardians Breakout in California Adventure.
I wonder if they'll ever, like, change the other
We'll
one.
See.
Someone made a post.
I'm imagining that they must.
Yeah, someone made a post where they had, like, the hat from Guardians, and, like, 2 days later they went to the one in Florida, and they had, like, the hat. Took a photo and they said,
oh wait, that was Patrick, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That might have been our friend.
Like, you're next.
That was totally Patrick.
Everyone was so mad.
He's on our channel with
that's
us.
So
he was like, should I do this? I was like, do it.
I saw in the comments there were so many people who were like, no,
how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we like to ruffle feathers for the sake of ruffling feathers.
That's so funny that was your friend.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's see. So have you guys ever gotten to stay in like the Cinderella Castle suite?
No. On my most recent trip to Disney World, we got to tour it, which was crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
We have a video coming out from it sometime in September. And then when I did the Disney College program.
Yeah.
And when I was in the college program, they do tours of the one at Disneyland. So I've been in both, never stayed. It's not in the castle.
Oh.
It's above Pirates.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was originally intended to be Walt's second apartment inside Disneyland, because he has an apartment above the fire station.
Right.
But it's basically a studio. Like, it is one room and then, like, a bathroom. Mm. And so the one above Pirates, he, like, planned it out. And it didn't happen before he died, unfortunately. But he planned it as, like, a family apartment with multiple rooms and stuff. And they finished it much later. Like, after he died, they were like, whatever. And then in, like, 2008, they were like, all right, let's finish it for, like...
posterity's sake.
Wait, was it for the 50th? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Or was it the Year of a Million Dreams? I don't remember if it was 2005 or
2008. No, it was the dream one, because they were allowing people to stay.
They were giving it away.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's funny. Random thing. Whenever I was 9.5 years ago, visiting the one in Florida, I was, like, pulled aside, and, like, they were like, we got something special for you. And I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to stay in the Cinderella Castle. And they were like, And they were like, we have this hat for you. And it was like the one that was like the clouds. And like,
what I wanted.
But I was still excited. Yeah. But I was just like, cool. Like, am I going to flip the hat over and there's going
to
be like,
you get to stay in the
admission?
Dream
and yeah.
But, yeah, they make that big a deal about stickers too. Like, we've got something very special.
Here's a sticker.
Old boy sticker with Mickey Mouse.
Look at you. Yeah.
Enjoy amazing. Your magical day.
Okay, so let's talk about Disney bounding, because this is something that I just recently discovered.
Yeah.
And we have some photos. So let's show the photos, and then you can explain it.
Sure.
So we
Let me explain.
The Wreck-It Ralph one.
Yes. This is us from Dapper Day.
That's exciting.
You know about Dapper Day?
Yeah.
Right. So if you are watching and you don't know, it's a day where everyone kind of dresses vintagey or more dressed up to the parks. And so we did Dapper Day Disney Bounds as Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope. Leo's Vanellope, I'm Wreck-It Ralph.
Flipped it.
Yeah.
So cool.
Disney bounding, as you might guess from the photo, is when you wear outfits that are reminiscent of a Disney character using color blocking and accessories. So it's not a costume, because you're not wearing wigs, you're not using props. The goal is not to look exactly like a Disney character. It's to evoke the idea of a character through your fashion.
The stylistic sort of transmutation of that character.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys switched, it would be called like gender bending. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just learned that term the other day. I had to throw that in there. And then this one is my personal favorite.
Yeah,
another gender bend, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did this one in Orlando. Mm. As you can see, we're outside the seas. We were, like, trying to plan different bounds for, like, each day and each park and stuff. And I found that cardigan, and I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing.
I would just like to point out that I found the cardigan.
Right, we were shopping together, okay?
We
were shopping
21.
Together, and I was like, this is made for a Disney bound.
And I was like, bip.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's like perfect Nemo and Dory. Like, that's
isn't
so,
it?
That's so cool. Thank and, you. Like, whenever you're walking around, like, do you get a lot of people saying, oh, my gosh, you guys are...
Yeah, the community, that's the fun of like if you know about Disney bounding, then like you'll be more inclined to like just be like, love your Disney bound. Like we do that all the time, and like there's a lot of like meetups. I sent
love
you a picture
Dory.
Actually.
Yeah,
love
the next photo is a meetup.
This was the they can't even have meetups anymore, really,
because they're
this big. This was the last one, and like is it like a hazard to have that many people in one place at one time.
Yeah,
you can't even see us. We're like somewhere, like in the like fourth row back.
There are a few people who are like totally full on wearing princess dresses though.
For sure,
yeah,
it's more like a costume.
It started because
Dapper Day gets a little bit complicated because people are wearing dresses, and so like it just. It goes a little bit too far sometimes on Dapper Day because it's
like about
vintage,
like,
blah, blah, blah.
Vintage and also just sort of like, you know, fun outfits. But what, you know, a fun outfit is also a dress.
Right.
And so it kind of blurs the lines a little bit. And there's a lot of needless back and forth on the internet of people yelling at each other over this sort of thing.
Started by me. I will take credit. Like I made a video about like why you shouldn't wear costumes to Disneyland because it's against the rules. And it has like 500,000 views at this point.
And
I'm just
and
like,
the problem is
that he's circling Leo.
What, you found me? Oh yeah, that's me. That's my eyebrows.
Yeah.
The problem is the problem with it is that then kids think you are the princess,
right?
You know, and a lot of people act like they are the princess, and you shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not your job.
That's not your job. And for you know, it's not the authentic thing that Disney's presenting.
Right.
You know, so
and they can't control it.
Yeah, the Disney can't control what you say and do.
Like there's a video. It was like a BuzzFeed video or some. Or no, it just went viral. Some guy who dressed like Peter Pan and went to the Orlando park and was being a complete jerk. Like pranking people on purpose. Like being like rude and lewd and just like horrible things. Like not even funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't even funny. And he was doing it to kids. He was doing it to families. And it's like, that's, you know, Disney doesn't want people running around doing that kind of stuff because they give them a bad name.
And I bet these kids were crushed, like, oh my gosh, like Peter, why Pan Peter Pan's such a
dick.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say there is someone out there right now. I want to give her a shout out because she's sending me a couple of shirts. But she is really into the whole Disney bounding thing and also creating shirts and skirts that are like have characters on them. She hand paints them, which is incredible. So check out at Disney Simplicity on Instagram. She hand paints them, and she does like babies through adults like clothing. Mm-hmm. And the paint is long lasting, machine washable, thanks to her grandma's passed down recipe, which I think is really cool. And so she can paint any Disney character, attraction, ride, food, anything that inspires you. And she has a buy one, take one sale right now and through Sunday night. So hurry up, get it before it just goes back to the regular one and done. And so you can either DM her or email her at DisneySimplicity@yahoo.com to give her your ideas, and you guys can collaborate, find what you love, and then she will hand paint it. I think that's so cool. Like,
yeah,
she's
made us some. She's made us before. Some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. I love it though, because it's like hand painting. It's like people don't do that anymore. So when I literally ran across her page last night, and I was like, what the heck? Super talented.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of talent.
I was gonna say there's just like this huge community of Disney like. You know, arts and crafts creators on the internet that make custom ears or custom shoes is a big one. And, you know, that's sort of like the fun of this whole movement right now is that everybody's sort of, you know, collaborating with everyone else. They're expressing their creativity in their own unique ways, like, you know, like Disney Simplicity. And it's just fun to see. And Disney bounding is a big part of that. It's sort of a central focus of it a lot of times because a lot of these little skill sets apply to creating those outfits.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really unique. It's really fun.
Yeah. One of them that I'm getting is like, it's a little, like Chip the teacup. It's called like a pocket pal.
Mm.
And so he's like peeking out the pocket, and on the back, it's got like a red rose and like tea bubbles.
Oh, cute.
And so that's awesome. I'm super excited. Cause I played Chip. That was my first acting role as a kid. I played Really? A teacup in my old high school. So that was super cool.
We gotta let Bradley know.
Yeah.
And then the other one I'm getting is like a Goofy. It's gonna have like Goofy on it, and it's gonna say Goofy Sky School, because I love that ride. It's so,
oh my god, it scares me so much.
It's so broken scary. Neck the ride.
I'm like, we're gonna go flying off the edge of this coaster.
You know what it reminds me of though? It reminds me of the one in Florida, like the Dynomatic ride or something. Like the Dynomatic is bigger, but like whenever it just like goes around that corner, you think you're gonna like
fall. It's like, how are we staying on,
right?
Yeah,
develop those neck muscles.
And then before we get into thingamavlogs, I want to talk about, have you guys obviously probably most likely done the Frozen Ever After ride?
Yes
Yeah.
Have you?
Isn't that the in Epcot, right?
Yeah
I don't remember.
I went on it with you, but
sorry,
she's like, I don't recall.
Literally the time you went on it, I went on it.
I remember now.
Okay, so that ride, I'm a fan of Frozen. Like, okay, that's amazing, you know. But like, I was not expecting me to like literally be singing at the top of my lungs.
Oh yeah.
As you know, like my favorite part is whenever Elsa's there, and then you fall backwards as the ice castle is like following you, and, like,
and she's like, bye.
I got chill bumps. I was singing. Chill bumps. I was like having a moment. Like, what did you guys think of that ride?
That ride's crazy. The animatronics on it are like amazing.
Unreal.
Especially the one, like the humans look great, but like I feel like the plus of being like a snowman and like Sven looking so great because like they just look like cartoons in real life.
And Olaf, the way he skates around and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a really good attraction. Like, it's I was like weirdly sad about Maelstrom leaving, but like I was like, this is fine.
Wait, Maelstrom left?
Maelstrom.
It was like you go and you see Vikings.
Yeah, you see trolls.
Interesting. I don't know.
And they yell at you in Icelandic.
Oh, okay.
It's like,
I don't think I did that one.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a lot of people loved it because it was just so weird. It made like almost no, and you end the ride in the oil, like the oil refineries in the middle of the ocean, because it's supposed to be like the history and the lore of Iceland, but of Norway, and it makes like no sense from any perspective other than that. But it's just like so jumbled. It's like saying, like, let me tell you about the history of the United States, and then it has like the pilgrims and then cowboys and then what's something uniquely American, that like some story, some lore that makes, like, you know, like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
Just so randomly. Just
like randomly.
And then and then you end the trip in, like, you know, the Empire State Building. It's like, what? None of this stuff makes
sense. Yeah, it doesn't all really tie in. Yeah. A ride that I missed, I don't know if it was a ride or a walkthrough, but Coca-Cola had like this big like ice structure thing that you could go through, and it was like made of ice, and everything inside was made of ice, and it was in the one in Florida.
Oh, sorry, I have no idea.
At Epcot, I believe. And like, you literally rode through this little tram thing in this big ice thing. It was crazy. Like, literally a block of ice that you would go through. I don't know how they kept it alive, you know,
in Disney for sure.
In the heat. But anyway, let's talk about Thingamavlogs, because this is something that I thought was really neat. And for those who don't know, let them know what's going on.
What is it?
Yeah,
what is it? What is it, Sarah?
Thingamavlogs is our collaborative Disney-inspired YouTube channel that we have with two of our friends, Tiffany and Patrick.
Yeah.
And it started with us doing videos every weekday, which was a lot. We did it for like almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And like that was our goal, because it was like Disney content every day.
So every day for like 5 days a week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
For a while.
I'm like, dang.
Exactly.
And then we recently moved to just one day a week, because like in order to keep it going, basically we had to do that.
Yeah. It was just
would burn ourselves out. Yeah. So it's everything Disney. It's like we do Disney tips, we do Disney history, we do Disney parody songs,
Disney skits.
We do meeting Disney characters, yeah, Disney skits, Disney music, that's Disney covers,
food videos, everything. Vlog videos,
food videos, yes.
It's great because there's four of us, we're all very different, we have different interests.
Very different
interests, and so we like all bring like our different styles and interests to the channel, and we're all like genuinely like best friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's me and Leo, we're together, like obviously we like each other.
But Tiff and Patrick, it's family, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
So it's just, that's what it is. Yeah. It's just four friends loving Disney.
Yeah. Each one, yeah, we make videos. We like, you know, just like she said, we have our own styles, but it's interesting how each one of our passion like encompasses a different area of Disney. Like, for example, Patrick is really into the musicals.
Mm.
He really loves like
Disney,
stage
Broadway.
And Broadway.
Yeah.
He's very into
and
he's very into
the Orlando parks.
He's really into the parks, but Orlando parks specifically.
Really?
Yeah, where Sarah's like much more like history focused, you know, and Tiff is much more about experientially focused. Like, she knows all the details. She travels all the parks.
She's
in the world.
She's gone to all the international parks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I definitely lean heavier in the like the nostalgia of like Disney Afternoon, and I'm a big Marvel and Star Wars guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like, each one of us kind of approaches it with our own unique perspective, and then you get to see all of it on the channel, which is kind of fun.
Cool. So do you ever, like, when you go to a park, be like, okay, today is your day, so we're all going to, like, follow you around?
Oh,
and,
we
like,
do it all the time.
Know? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, like, we kind of
we
all
plan
help
it,
each other out with
but,
our
yeah.
ideas.
Like the last one we did,
last,
my, last week was my video, and I did things annual pass holders do.
Oh my gosh, I saw that.
That
was so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
That was amazing.
So like, I was filming and I was like, we really need like other people.
Patrick, can you come down and like be in it with me?
And then
we call our friend Aldi. Who's like, he's like a, you know, he's like the fam, like thingamafam. And yeah, they meet up, we film the thing, and then we put it up, you know, and we're in each other's videos all the time.
That's
we help each other shoot them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part was whenever like, you want to go to Matterhorn? Be like, well, Peter Pan will walk by Peter in like 3.3 minutes.
I think I need to make a part too, because that was like so successful. I mean, it went like he like exploded. It's at like 600,000 views in a week.
Wow.
Right?
On Facebook,
yeah,
that's crazy. Insane. And like the one where you like obviously like take the photo of like,
yeah, I need a balloon. Can I get a balloon?
Yeah, exactly. That's so so stereotypical.
Yeah.
That everyone's always like with their food before they eat it. Like it could be like a platter of like the chicken nuggets from like the,
and you're like
the
rack focus.
Yeah. It's so funny because like I was totally trying to channel my friend Francis Dominic, who's like the master of Disneyland
Francis
photos. Ugh, God, he's so good. His Instagram account is just the most aesthetically pleasing photos of Disneyland you've ever seen. But that's what he does. He like hunts the perfect angles down.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's so funny because we all totally do that. It's such a thing.
That's really cool. That's awesome. And so you said like obviously your favorite Disney movie, right? Is the Goofy movie?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you?
Disney movie?
Yeah.
Aladdin.
Okay.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are two very big classics. I don't know if you're going tonight, but tonight I'm going to the
I'm
El
going
Capitan.
Tonight too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'll see you there.
Oh my gosh. Are you going?
No, I got him a ticket, but then he had other plans.
I didn't know it was tonight. Tonight I'm streaming with Geek and Sundry, so
yeah.
I'm unfortunately.
Are you wearing a costume?
I'm wearing
Max.
Right, exactly. I wanted to try to dress up as Max, but I think what I'm gonna do is I have like these goofy socks, and then I just found like the Powerline shirt with the tour dates on the back Topic, so I'm probably gonna do that and like wear a goofy hat and like wear my goofy magic band and like, you know, go all out. But I wanted to like that to be my first Disney bound, but like I don't know, like I don't have a lot of stuff yet, but
yeah, it's hard to
you're
like...
almost in a Tower of Terror Disney bound right now.
That's true. I just,
pretty
I
close
almost, I almost got that little hat when I was in Florida,
bellhop,
like a little bellhop
hat.
That would have been cool.
Tonight's the only night they're doing a costume contest, so I had to pull something together.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing Lester.
They will.
You should.
Sadly,
they
had no masks
you.
Allowed, and also I couldn't fit him in his seat.
That's
I full
true.
On asked them. I was like, "Do you want me to come?" They were like, "No, it's okay."
you asked them like, "Do you want me to come in my?"
It's almost
Lester?
A shame,
yeah.
right?
But I do have a costume ready. It's kind of a Disney bound, but like It's just what the person
well,
is wearing.
Well, like, you could argue that Max is, like, if you dress as Max, you're also costume. In Disney bound.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because I was thinking, okay, like, if I get, like,
a red hoodie.
Red hoodie, you know, jeans, black shoes, and then I could, like, maybe make my hair a little messed up.
Yeah.
But so Max is supposed to be there tonight, like, which he's kind of more of a retired Disney character. So I'm, like, thinking, okay, what time do I need to be there in order to get a photo with Max?
Yeah.
But this is my first time going to El Capitan. I've never gone before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun.
You're going to love it.
It's a fun experience.
And, like, are we going to place bets on whether or not Bill Farmer is going to show up tonight?
Oh, my God.
No, he can't.
No?
He talked about it at our
Disney
afternoon.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, we were at this D23 event, and he was like, they didn't tell me when they were doing it.
That's so sad, because, like, it says, and surprises, so I, like, figured for sure he would do it.
Jim Cummings will probably be there.
Will he plays Max?
No, he does Pete.
Oh,
he might. Okay. I don't know if he'll be there. I
That'd
mean,
cool.
I think.
I bet
like,
you he will. Be.
I feel like they're probably just going to do giveaways. Okay. I feel like they'll give away prizes, like maybe do trivia or something.
And I heard that they have like popcorn tubs, like themed, which will be cool. Which
and there's
I
an
was
organist.
Like,
and...
I was like, oh man, I didn't even get the VIP one. I should have gotten it, so I could have gotten the popcorn tub. But
I'm
I think
the
there's
popcorn
at least
talk.
The popcorn talk. There's probably going to be at least one person from the movie there. I would hope. I think
I
that'd
hope
be cool.
So.
Probably.
I was hoping that Bill Farmer and I don't know his name, but the guy who plays Max,
Jason Marsden,
would show up and sing on the open road like they did.
Oh my god,
we were there.
You were there.
Yeah.
Well, I had just interviewed Bill Farmer a couple days before that. And he's like, you have to go to my Goofy movie. Like, you have to be there.
I was already.
Don't miss it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't worry. It's my girlfriend's favorite movie. Like, chill. And then they did that whole Powerline performance and they did Open Road. And it was just, part of history right
I'm
there.
I'm hoping he just, like, drops by and, like, cancels his trip or whatever.
And he's like,
come
well,
on,
howdy.
Bill. Like, I have to meet him. But
he's such a cool guy.
Yes. So, okay. So, also, you guys do a show here.
Yes.
Disney Movie News.
Mm-hmm.
And what time can everyone watch that each week?
It's Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Pacific time.
Awesome.
Yep.
And you guys do that with Renee Ariel, which is one of my friends. And then who else?
Keaton Markey.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I am so glad you guys joined
me. Thank you for having
us.
Like,
this is
I was
really
like,
fun.
If I could bring in two people to talk about Disney, I'm like, they already work here. I'm like, let's do it.
We literally filmed two studios over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you again. And where can everyone find you on social media?
Again, it's Thingamavlogs on YouTube. I know it's a mouthful. If you just get some of it right, it'll autofill it for you. Sarah Sterling_ on Twitter. Sarah G. Sterling on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Mr. Leo Zombie on Instagram and at Leo Zombie on Twitter.
All right, and you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. And look out for tonight. I'm sure we're going to be posting some fun photos. So make sure you stay tuned, and we will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Sarah.
Uh-oh. Hey.
Dance.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.